Order the AIP committee. Approval of minutes of May 1 and May 20th.
I'll move it.
Second. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Marie.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right. So we've got three things going on here. One is an approval for a contract with New York State DOT for additional Section 5311 grant funds. 5311 is the rural transportation. So there's that one. Do you want to do those individually or?
It looks like the contract period ended at 22.
Transportation and New York COT does that. It's got me thrown for a loop because I'm like, we're in 2024 and yet these are for contracts for 2022. And yeah.
It's similar, unfortunately, to a lot of federal grants are like this. And even though it's New York State DOT, it's actually federal dollars. So just like Tim talks about his Homeland Security grant programs, where I think the other day he just talked about closing out 2019.
Yeah.
It's just,
same thing.
Yeah. Lagged.
I'll make a motion. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
The next one is approval of a contract with New York State DOT for federal transit operation assistance for the amount of $1,365,945. And now this contract goes from 1/1/23 to 3/31/29. So we're going backwards and forwards all in the same contract here.
Motion?
No, I'll make a motion.
A second?
I'll second.
All right. And now back
any
to
questions?
The current day. Oh, sorry.
You're rolling. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
All right. Approving the addition of agricultural lands to certified districts from the annual 30-day inclusion period. So this is 2024. So all of the annual ones.
Motion.
So moved.
Second. What's going on here.
Pardon me?
I don't really understand what's going on with this one.
With the agricultural?
Yeah, can you just
explain that? Every year, and we do ours from February 15th to March 17th, people have the opportunity to include their parcels of land into the New York State Agricultural Districts program.
Okay.
So we've got, I think, 7 districts. So every year they can add them to it. Now, we've had a couple earlier in the year about the 8-year review. Every 8 years, we review the districts, and then that is the opportunity that they are allowed to take out their land.
Gotcha. I'm sure there's some sort of added benefits to being certified.
It's the preservation of farmland and land use for farming.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's pretty lenient too. You could have a parcel with a truck scale in the middle of downtown Corning. You can make that an agricultural parcel because it adds to agriculture in New York State.
Nice. Okay. Thank you.
You also get the benefit of reduced taxes.
Yeah.
Which okay. Is the real savings.
But I think that's all actually right. That's a different program. That's the agricultural.
It's ag districts.
Assessment. They have to be in the ag district, but also so that's through real property.
Yeah.
So this one
I didn't know there was 2 programs.
I think because there's for the reduction on taxes, that's an agricultural assessment and that's done through real property.
Right.
The agricultural district parcels is through planning. And that's
you have to be in an ag district through the planning one in order for the assessor to signify you're in an ag district.
I believe you're right, Scott.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's one of those. I'm like, when do you know that answer?
Standoff. any further questions?
It's all for agriculture.
Yes. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
All right. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I do have one item that came up, and we had a webinar yesterday. So in this state budget that was just passed, there's a program called New York Swims that you might have seen some press on it, but it's to increase opportunities for public swimming and to enhance public swimming. New York State Department of State is the one administering the funds. It's a formulary grant, so it's based on population. We fall into the category where we're eligible for $30,000 for the county. Now, as you all know, we don't have a pool other than the one in my backyard, and that doesn't count. Our municipalities, we've talked to, been communicating specifically with the city of Hornell and the city of Corning. They have pools, but it also is for like the town of Urbana for Champlain Beach and the head of the lake. It's meant for recruitment, retention, and additional compensation, essentially paying lifeguards more or retaining and recruiting lifeguards. But we have to be the one to apply. It's not the cities. So I just don't need a motion, but I just want to make sure everyone's okay with, we can do it. We'll apply it because it's formulaic. We believe that it's just going to be granted. At that point, if it is awarded, which would be sometime probably in August, I would have to come back to you and ask to appropriate probably contingency funds or unassigned funds to pay, because it's reimbursement based. And we asked that question on the webinar yesterday. So we would have to front the money to those municipalities, and then we seek reimbursement. So it'd be 30 grand max. We would work, I don't know if, and let me know if any of your other municipalities have pools or beaches that employ lifeguards of their own. I'm only aware of the two cities and the town of Urbana, but
I do have a question, just because I've been contacted through the town of Cohocton and the PTSO. They're trying to get a grant for Cohocton for that pool. It's a RFA grant, the New York Swims Capital Grant.
Okay,
they're trying to get that pool replaced.
So that would be a different program.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. But
that would be just for this year, this one would be, and it's just for lifeguards.
This one is just for lifeguards. So, yep. So that would be New York Swims is kind of the bigger category. So, and I'm not aware of all of the other funding sources underneath that. So that sounds like a different one that, they would be eligible to apply on their own for, since they own that. This one is for lifeguards specifically.
Okay.
So Jack, if you're not going to get the money till August, summer's almost over. You're talking about giving the money ahead of time, fronting the money to these.
So it can be retroactive to, I believe, June 1st. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember what they said yesterday, but it's retroactive to essentially the beginning of swim season 2024 and runs through 2025, like September 2025. So in between those periods, it's probably one where they might invoice us twice, once for what they have in 2024, again, what they have in 2025, and then we can draw down the dollars.
And how would they distribute? How would we distribute the money? The $30,000 is not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money. I was thinking about getting a count of current lifeguards, essentially how many lifeguards do they currently employ, or how many positions do they have if they haven't been able to fill, and take a look at it that way. But I would bring that back to you, because if we're awarded it, we would have to come up with that distribution methodology. We've just had some email discussions with Hornell and Corning to this point, but we would have much more as we get closer to that.
The city of Corning only has one pool now up at Stewart Park because they closed Denison.
Well, I don't know if it's opening up again. We'll see. I haven't heard.
And then they have the Centerway Park, but that's not a city owned, where the water cannon is.
Oh, that's Corning.
And Irwin and Painted Post had a pissing contest, so they never funded Craig Park. And so that pool sits there, God, probably going on 15 years now. I mean, it's a shame that kids don't have facilities.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is only, to be clear, it is only municipal facilities. So the Ys and those sort of things are not eligible. It's only municipal facilities or municipal beaches. So Urbana is probably, I think, the only example of that in this county. But just want to make sure, I mean, I don't want to go applying for a grant that we're going to have to front money for unless, but it, I've heard specifically from the mayor of Hornell that it would be very beneficial to them. So, okay, we'll do. Thank you.
Mike.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah, Tess McKinley wasn't able to be here again this month, but she went to make the legislature or the committee aware of a couple of large two-day events they have coming up. Their farm tours for agriculture in the classroom are June 4th and 5th and are at the Damon Farms in Prattsburg. And they'll be helping hundreds of students to learn about agriculture with many different other organizations. They're excited to lead the event and help get students excited about agriculture. Mary Parham's going to be there also, I believe.
600 kids, I think.
It could very well be. On June 5th and 6th, they're giving out 200 container garden kits that are valued at $100 a piece. They're able to do that on a grant from New York State Ag and Markets.
And they did the distribution of 100 in Corning or Painted Post. There was a waiting line to get in to get those gardens.
Great.
One more thing quick before hand it over to Jamie. Just want to, I see Griffin back there. Just want to introduce everyone to Griffin Bates, your new-ish county historian. Griffin's very active on Facebook and in the public, so he's been doing an awesome job. So just wanted to put face with the name so you folks are aware.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Looking forward to working with you. Jamie.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So just a few things. Since we were here last time, it's been a busy couple of months. It's grant season. So, you know, we've been very active in supporting and writing grants. In particular, we've been working with three separate municipalities on Restore New York grants. Restore New York is program. It's been on the books for probably 20 years, but it got refunded last year to assist municipalities with revitalization of targeted properties in their communities. This round, which was leftover money from last year, was for $60 million statewide, and it's based on formulas and typical projects and get up to somewhere between $2 to $2.5 million, depending on how many units are going to build out and the square footage and things like that. But in particular, we've worked over the last couple of months with the Village of Wayland to resubmit for the properties on Main Street that were were ravaged by fire a couple of years ago. We've worked with the Village of Bath on submitting an application for the Dana Lyons School. We've also worked with the Village of Hammondsport on submitting an application for the Curtis School. In addition, we know and have supported projects and applications that have gone in through the city of Corning and also the city of Hornell submitted. So Steuben County's got five separate applications going in that we know of. And we're keeping our fingers crossed, but again, it's only $60 million distributed, you know, throughout the state. So it's going to be a very competitive round. The good news is as part of the budget process, the state allocated, I believe, another $50 million going forward. So if by chance, you know, any of these projects may fall through the crack, you know, I'm sure we're going to work specifically with those communities to resubmit for funding going forward. New York Forward, a grant that the Village of Hammondsport and the town of Urbana received $4.5 million to do targeted projects. We are entrenched into that process. It's a mini DRI program for those of you who aren't aware, and the DRI is the Downtown Revitalization Initiative. City of Hornell received that a few years ago. That was a $10 million allocation for the New York Forward program. It's a $4.5 million allocation, but there's an entire planning process that has to occur led by the Department of State. I co-chair the local planning committee along with the mayor and the town supervisor. We have an entire group of individuals. I think there's 12 that have been appointed as the local planning committee. That process is underway, and the consultant group that has been assigned to work with the town and village have undertaken us through a SWOT analysis, come up with a vision, identify challenges and opportunities. All of those items are going to be presented through a public participation process, with the first public session scheduled for June 13th at the Hammond Sport Fire Department. So if anybody is available, we would encourage you to attend the sessions on both June 13th, and then a second session is going to be held on Friday, the 14th. The session on the 13th is from 4 to 6. And then the sessions on Friday, there will be one at noon and one at 4 o'clock as well. And they'll be almost identical sessions. So I encourage, you know, any of the legislators to participate in that process. We've been meeting with the new ownership team at Corral Brands. For those of you who haven't heard, Corral filed for bankruptcy a couple of years ago, went through the bankruptcy process, came out of it, and ended up the pressware side of the business, which is Pyrex and then the Corral plant in Corning, was purchased by a company that owns Anchor Hocking, which is another I would say competitor to Pyrex, but it's a cookware type of company that you can find in retail stores. They're based out of Ohio, and their leadership team has been assigned to oversee and manage the Corral plant and the Pyrex plants that came with that. We've actually had the opportunity to meet with the CEO, very lean company. You email the CEO and I get a response usually back in about 20 minutes, you know, so he's very active and very responsive, but also been in the glass business for over 40 years. They see this as an addition to their business line, not as a competitor taking out a competitor. And they have actually began the tank rebuild that Corral announced 2 or 3 years ago, $64 million to rebuild one of the tanks, which will, you know, give them another 7 to 10 years worth of life. They actually have 3 tanks at that facility. 2 of them have been operating. They just took one offline for that rebuild. You may hear about some layoffs in the community as a result of that. Those were all voluntary layoffs. It impacted about 70 individuals. They did say that they had double that amount of volunteer to take the summer off on layoff as the tank was rebuilt. But all of those individuals are going to be called back and are expected to be called back once the new tank comes online later this year. They're also looking at consolidating some operations. And we've been in discussions with them about what that means and what that looks like and what benefits it could bring to Steuben County. So, you know, we're excited to have a business that is that has been in the glass businesses and has a long history of glass manufacturing, taking control of that facility and helping manage that operation. So we're really excited about the opportunities that will present. We've also been working with Siemens Energy, former Dresser Rand and Painted Post. They've been spending a ton of money in that facility over the last few years. It's amazing every time I walk into it. When they closed Olean and brought everything to Painted Post, they've completely revamped the interior of that facility and upgraded it. And as a result, they've got some fire suppression requirements and just recently did some upgrades with the village of Painted Post to their municipal system. And now they're undertaking an $11 million upgrade on site to their fire suppression system, putting new mains in, new pump stations, new lift stations. And we're working with them to support that, to, you know, continue to support and try to induce investment at that site to keep them here long term. The business model that they are looking at is very exciting because it ties in nicely with the clean tech effort that we're undertaking. You know, they aren't just doing the old compressor work that they've done there for years. They've got various lines and they're looking at things, not only like wind energy, hydrogen, other types of technologies that they see going forward will help us with carbon emissions and energy generation activities. Supported a project with Corning Incorporated recently at the Irwin Daycare Facility. For those of you who may be aware, the Irwin Daycare Facility, which is just below Sullivan Park, closed. And Corning took it over and was going to keep it operating. But when they got in there to do the renovations, they found substantial mold. So they had shut the facility down, which took 80 daycare spots offline. Corning has gone through and done a remediation and is now in the process of doing $1 million+ internal renovations. And when they reopen this fall, they'll add 20 additional spots to the 100 that are the 80 that were already there. So not a huge project, but a very impactful project in the community because it will bring those 80 slots back, but then add an additional 20 of much needed daycare opportunities. Quick update on the clean tech initiative that I presented to the legislature about a few weeks ago or a few months ago. That process is underway. The data gathering phase is ongoing. We've provided them a bunch of information from Steuben County, including the county's comprehensive plan. We're going to be probably reaching out at some point to the GIS folks to talk about, you know, site development opportunities. But right now they're looking at planning documents and reviewing planning documents from throughout the region. They've also just issued to us, and we're working on completing a site request for information because they want to understand and identify the existing sites to try to figure out the capacity of what the existing sites throughout the region will look like or currently are, so we can start strategizing about whether we need to upgrade those sites and what other opportunities exist that sites throughout the region can't accommodate. For Steuben County, we've submitted the Whalen site, and we've submitted the Painted Post Foundry site. Those are really our only two active sites that are planned sites that have been through pre-permitting processes and are currently readily available for development. But in addition, and in response to the clean tech effort, we're actually working with the Village of Painted Post on the Foundry site to do a generic environmental impact statement and finally come up with an approved plan for what they will allow at that site. Because it seems like every time we've taken something to that site, it's gone through their local planning committee process, and the residents come out with a number of concerns, and usually they're packed houses, and that stops everything cold in its tracks. So what we have said to them is, we're not going to bring you sites unless you tell us what you want there, and that when we bring that to you, it's already approved. So that's the process that they're undertaking. They received an ARC grant and a FAST New York grant to go through that process. I am on that planning committee, and we're working with Fagan engineers right now on trying to identify, you know, what those uses can be and what the community is willing to accept, so we have a better understanding of what it is that we can try to attract to that location. In addition, we're waiting for final approval on an ARC grant for the IDA. We applied for $75,000 from ARC, and we'll be matching that internally to do a Route 54 corridor analysis in the town of Bath. We've had a ton of activity on Route 54. We just recently purchased what I call the Scudder property, which is 15 acres behind the Shirley's Lumber and Owl Homes, which connects to the Phillips site. Phillips is currently performing what we anticipate and hope to be their final cleanup on the site. So what we want to do is we want to analyze the entire 54 corridor, you know, from the village, you know, on up to, I'll say, Simmons and Rockwell, where our rail line crosses 54, to understand what opportunities exist from a land development standpoint, and do a similar generic environmental impact statement on some of those properties to determine the ability to redevelop those areas for future attraction of businesses. Again, all aligning with this clean tech strategy and the work that is being undertaken on a regional level. Then finally, just wanted to remind everybody, if you haven't seen some of our email correspondence that's gone out, it's what we call Regional Council CFA season. The consolidated funding application is open. This is a process that the state has undertaken now for just about 15 years, where they compile a number of their funding sources, from economic development to environmental to, you know, infrastructure related types of programs into one application process. That process is open now. I would encourage all of the municipalities and any businesses that you are aware of or have been talking to take a look at that or reach out to us. We can direct them to resources. Applications are active until July 31st at 4 p.m. You know, it's a lot of money that's available out there, and we've been working with, I know we're working with the town of Canada or village of Canastillo on a planning grant. You know, we're hoping we get some business applications in through ESD, and you know, we've been really promoting the fact that there is money available. So anyone that you have been talking with, you know, from the business community or your municipal partners, please have them reach out to us, and we can, you know, talk with them about whether or not there's some eligibility or program money that they can apply for. So busy time, and you know, we'll continue to get through this grant cycle and hopefully, you know, bring some money back to Steuben County. Happy to answer any questions.
Hold up.
So I don't know, Jamie, are you involved in the truck stop in Irwin?
Only if I have to be. So I talked to Peter Bruckle, who is with Quicklease, actually earlier this week, and I've talked to Rita McCarthy and her replacement Melissa a number of times on this recently. There's a couple of things that are sort of going on simultaneously. First and foremost, you know, they keep changing their plan. But no matter what, the town and DOT has said to them, we have concerns related to traffic if you put something else there. So in order to alleviate those concerns, you need to do a traffic study, which is very common. You know, it's not unheard of at all. But they want them to do the traffic study before school lets out, or while school is in session, because they want maximum impact. You know, they want to see, you know, with the middle school being there, they want to see what the maximum traffic flow is going to be on a daily basis and what the maximum traffic counts are and when that traffic flows. To this point, nobody is aware of any effort to do that traffic study. So if they don't get it done in the next couple of weeks, they're going to have to wait till September. The other thing that Mr. Bruckle contacted us about is apparently Quicklease received a significant grant from the state through this regional council process to build a extremely large truck stop at the border in Niagara Falls to the tune of $500,000. And he said, can I get that money for Irwin? And I said, don't know anything about it. Tell me what it was, and I'll, you know, see if you're eligible. I have not heard back from Mr. Bruckle on that yet. The only reason I knew that they got a grant is we did some Google research and found that they were announced they got this grant. With what they are currently proposing, which is to use the remaining structure that they did not demolish and put the convenience store, and it's only going to be a convenience store. And I'm looking at James because I know you're on the Irwin IDA board. You know, I don't see how they would be eligible for a $500,000 state grant, because I'm sure the way that they received that grant was by, you know, by leveraging tourism dollars. Because the you know, if you read the articles, they're talking about bus traffic and bus stops and tourists
and the sales tax that we in the state get off of fuel at busy places.
Yes. I mean, there's an economic benefit to it as well, but the Irwin project, it's my understanding, has gone from a full-fledged truck stop to something smaller, and they haven't really defined what that something smaller is. So there are still active discussions that I'm aware of that are ongoing. I have talked to the project developer. I have said to him countless times that, you know, if they're looking for IDA assistance, there are some restrictions that we have to abide by related to retail. They have to fall within a category. They have to either be in a distress census tract, which that is not. They have to be identified and quantified as a tourism destination project, which I think we would have a really hard time doing, especially if it's just a small convenience store, or it has to be a good or service otherwise not provided in the community. Well, if you drive Victory Highway, you've got 7-Eleven over here and you've got another convenience store closer to the middle school. So how we would justify is it a good or service otherwise not provided would be very difficult. So from an IDA standpoint, from IDA incentives, I think it would be a real reach to try to, you know, put a round peg into a square hole, unless the project has changed, you know, substantially from what I understand it is. But, I can say, and that's a long answer to a very, to the question is, I know they're still looking at it. I know they're still actively pursuing something. What that something is, we don't know. And I know they've been talking with both the town and us, kind of, So I don't think there's any real definitive plan at this point that's been approved. How do they do, James? I keep looking at you.
Well, yeah, the plan that was last presented conceptually was to include rooms above the convenience store.
Rooms.
Because the town passed adjusted the zoning law so that it was very clear there was going to be no sleeping overnight parking in trucks or cars on the premises, as is not allowed in the town. And so they countered by offering to build some rooms available to those.
Yeah, that was the last that I heard. And then you'd have to sign a thing that if your truck was parked there, you're staying in the room. Type of thing.
How the only overnight parking be, it was unclear, yeah. But it was going to be on quickly as to enforce parking or no.
Yeah, it sounds to me like we're all trying to work gray areas and loopholes to try to get a project done.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the town is, I think, supportive of what is closer to the project, the last concept mm-hmm. that we saw. But yeah, it's been very quiet because there's nothing moving forward until there is a traffic study, because we do believe that there is going to indeed be a need for additional investment into on-ramps, turning lanes.
And DOT shared same concern. That's not just
because you also have the dump up the hill traffic that is going to be a challenge beyond just the school buses and normal traffic. So
where would it be located?
You know where the old Ames store used to be, the old Ames Plaza? Right there.
Yeah. You where right now it looks like just half a building has been demolished. That's a lot. Yeah. So that's where it stands. So it's
thanks.
Scott.
I saw a lot of site work and drainage systems being installed, but what's the status of Family Life Network's facility as far as timing?
I talked to Rita about that a little bit too, when I talked to her yesterday, and apparently they are in the process of, they've bid out and they're reviewing bids related to the foundation work. So that's the latest update I know is that, the next phase of that is foundation. They've got all the drainage work. They've got most of the site work done. Now they've got to install the foundation. So they're in that was, apparently the way it was broken out, that was going to be a separate bid to the construction contract. So that's where they are right now is assessing those bids.
Okay.
Anything further for Jamie? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the update. Thanks, Jill. Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
I'd just like to commend the county manager on the email he sent out yesterday as far as the legislative updates. I think that's helpful to do that. Did that go countywide?
Yeah. Yeah. So been having some, again, focusing on employee engagement, communication was one of the things. Had some brainstorming sessions with a subset of department heads, working on some different things. So just trying some new stuff.
Yeah. No, that was very good.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.